Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Carcucci board.
Duval, man. I can get into that any zone.
At the club.
Don't get me wrong, I like the tatted up whore too.
The hottest spot north of Milwaukee.
We all
what's that like?
Maria,
I want bourbon!
Finally, but not last.
What?
I'm asking where the white power rankings go.
I know that I'll probably have to join a white supremacist gang.
I just have always preferred the white.
Could you mix in a black?
The color white to me just always works.
Hello.
Hi.
Someone mentions Ted Cruz as a punchable face.
Yeah, I could see that.
Very good one.
Keith Olbermann.
Punchable face.
Definitely a punchable face. Very smug. Very smug.
Dave Portnoy?
Oh, yeah.
Punchable face?
100%. I also find Don Lemon to have a very punchable face as well.
What's he doing now? That
I don't know.
Bastard.
But I wouldn't mind socking him one. So you got to be careful because, like, there's the difference between, like, punchable and then, like, it can't be too soft of a face.
Dead.
That's like the J.D. Vance thing. Like, you can't. He looks.
I don't think it's a punchable face.
It's not punchable. It's too. It's like.
It's too basic. Like, it's just like there's no standout features.
Exactly. It's soft faces are hard to punch because then you're just like, whatever.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because he bugs me. And his freedom seeds.
Between, why would he bug you?
There's a difference between bugging.
I don't know. He likes couches too much. There's the whole thing.
His freedom seeds.
Yeah. See, I think there's a difference between bugging and punching.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. It's made annoying me face? Dislike his face.
What other types of face are there? My face, your face.
Well, I always find that, like, there's... I'm always jealous of a very manly face. Like, when you get, like... Jeff Bridges to me.
Yeah, with like the chiseled jaw.
Well, yeah, like it's just there's something to that. Especially as you get a little older. Guys that age and get better looking, I'm very jealous of. Like wise face, like wise wisdom, lived a good life face. The most interesting man in the world is the guy that started this. Like you just look at that guy and he looks like the most interesting guy in the world. And so I have that's always one that gets me. Whereas you age a little bit and there's it's still like a rugged handsome, but it looks like there's wisdom behind it. Some lines in there.
I think you're talking about, it's possible you're talking about pores, because I had a friend in college named Sally.
Yeah.
And she was attracted to pores.
Huh.
And she would, and I was always like kind of confused by that. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like a man's got to have really good pores. I'm like, what does that mean? But I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of like what you just described. It's a bit like Sam Elliott.
Yes.
You know, there's some tan.
Yes.
Rugged, leathery, manly type.
Yes,
she described it as poor.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of the reason why like the Marlboro Man for a while before the whole death thing was viewed as an iconic figure. And that's different than the masculine because like what you're talking about is like the Henry Cavill guy. Like the dude that's Superman, like that guy's jaw is made of granite. Like that's a whole other like whoa. Like that's like you should be like a Navy SEAL when you have that sort of face.
I see him here.
Or like I think of
that is one hell of a jaw.
That's a hell of a jaw, right? Like that guy should be reading like the evening news to you, and like he talks like this, and it's Chet, you betcha.
Alan and Braden.
I have a powerful jawline.
Great to be here, Alan and Braden.
Swing in a barrel.
Love the show.
But yes, as someone said, the pores or as Sam Elliott has great old man wisdom face, and I am envious of old man wisdom face. And then you have, like handsome baby face, where you're like, oh my god. That dude, like Timothy Chalamet, well, right now. What do they call that? There's the
well. That was always Leo DiCaprio.
Yes,
I mean
yes.
He's old now, but yeah. He had that.
Yeah, it's like it's, and the women just that may be the best face. Like the women will eat that up more than anything else. Just the, I don't know. It's the almost wholesome, but there's a little something behind it. The cute little guy face. Women, they can't get enough of that.
He's one of the rare like guys that have that face and that is young and famous but still has a high approval rating with dudes.
Who? Yeah.
Dudes like Timothy Chalamet. Most of the time, really? That's like Justin Bieber. Yeah. Dudes don't like Justin Bieber.
Well, because they're jealous because Biebs? They're like, yeah, cuz they'll be like,
Biebs come around.
I'm okay with the Biebs.
You'll get a guy and he sees that and he's like, that dude looks like a candy ass, but all the girls like him and they get all pissy. I got a buddy of mine who's bitter at this cuz you'll get like a Portland, it'll be like a Portland line cook, but he looks like that. And he dresses real hipster-like, and the dude's just swimming in skush. And he's like, how? And I'm like, look at that guy's face. He's a cute little guy, and the women can't get enough of it. Pete Davidson has a little bit of that. Like, Pete Davidson kind of looks like all kind of strung out, but he's very boyish looking, and it's kind of like the angular face, and women love it.
Right, but people, like, guys, dudes don't hate Pete Davidson. Dudes, like, when I was, like, growing up, dudes hated Justin Bieber. Zac Efron had this before he messed up his face. But, like, Timothy Chalamet, guys like Timothy Chalamet. He's got a high approval rating.
Why is that? Like, I don't...
He knows ball. He seems like a pretty average dude. He's a big sports fan.
He knows ball.
He does. He's a certified ball knower,
man. He knows ball. Yeah, he goes on like College Game Day and does like the pick and stuff.
Well, I always see him wearing weird outfits like Harry Styles. Yeah. He's trying to be Harry Styles.
And Harry Styles sucks.
No one. Whoa.
See, this goes.
Slow down.
This Harry goes back Styles to the jealousy Harry thing is of the man. Harry Styles.
Harry Styles is not the
Harry
man.
Harry Styles greater than Timothy Chalamet. Yes.
Disagree.
Yeah. He is.
No way. Is. Timothy Chalamet is like this generation's Leo. Harry Styles is just some pop star.
Boy, you couldn't be more wrong about
There's
that.
There's the jealousy thing.
Probably a little bit. But
see, for big dudes don't like Harry Styles. Like Will, that's maybe the beauty of the Chalamet thing is, so for big goons, they hate all of the little cute guys, but somehow Chalamet has transcended that.
Leo did this too. Like Leo was a good looking dude, but
DiCaprio?
Dudes like Leo. Yeah. His age. Chalamet is the same thing.
We've talked about this, but my kicker at BYU went on to be a model and he married a Playboy playmate. And nothing drove football players more insane. You know, you'd get some jacked linebacker, right? And we'd go out and all the ladies wanted Owen. Owen Pochman. You can look him up. He had a Chalamet-esque look about him. And he was little... But he just kind of had a punchable face, to be honest with you.
He looks like who was the dude that was married to Jessica Simpson that had the reality show? Nick Lachey. He looks like Nick Lachey.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And he, dude, that guy got laid so much.
I can see it.
And it would just drive people insane.
Why?
Because, like
he's
I said,
good they're looking. Like, no. Why would that?
So again, pitcher, you go out, and the linebackers and the running backs and the receivers all think that, and the quarterback, all think that the women should go crazy of them because they're built like Greek gods. And then Owen was just like this little, like, he's like wearing a puka shell necklace, and he weighs like 135 pounds.
He looks tiny.
He is. He's very small. And when we'd go out to a club or we'd go out to a bar in Salt Lake, I promise you, the best-looking girl at the bar always wanted him, and it pissed guys off. And that's the goon factor, where people hate guys like Harry Styles, that Harry walks into a bar, and he's 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing, and you're like, I'm a man! You should want me! And they're like, yeah, cool. And then they go home with Harry Styles.
Did you know that Owen Pochman wrote a book titled I'm Just a Kicker?
Oh, my God.
But I tell you, he dated Brandi Roderick?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I say it again? Wow.
Yeah. Dude, he ran in those circles for a while, and it was like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a good life. Maybe he still does have a good life. I don't know. I was a nice guy. But, yeah, he was it invoked a lot of rage when we would go out. The big goon is always bitter of the cute little guy. And the best thing you can do at that point is just wingman him and then hope that you pick up some of the scraps, like the wake that he kicks off. But even then, it's kind of depressing because sometimes you don't even get that. They're just bitter that they're not with him. And you're like, eh. And then you end up with like a shot putter or something. It's the life of the old lineman.
All right. I've got a Val Kilmer follow-up. I was reading about him today. Mm-hmm. Boy, there's something about him that I did not know.
Oh. Intriguing.
Yeah. I wonder if you know
this.
Is
it good or bad?
It's not good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, he was a... How about this? He was a complicated man.
Okay. That's a nice way of putting it.
Well, you know, he just died.
How long do we have to wait before we can
look, he was
him?
A complicated man.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to that next on The Fam.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Isaac and Sue.
You know, I always thought I could be a great salesman. Well, believe me, I could talk anybody into anything, except women into sex. That's the only thing I can't do.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Hey, you want to talk about a jawline? Val Kilmer.
Back in the day.
My God.
Yeah?
Yeah, then he got kind of fat.
Yeah.
And it, you know, goes away. Yeah. Well, and then he had throat cancer.
Well, but it's always weird when you, male or female, when someone was really handsome, and then, you know, not everyone ages well, and then you like you like they go away for a while and they come back, you're like, whoa. Ugh. Show up on a reality show. I remember that Kelly LeBrock, who was in Weird Science.
Yeah.
Yeah. She showed up on one of those reality shows once. Ugh. You're like, Daisy Duke was another one. Did not age well. Happens.
Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah.
I mean,
Nick Nolte at one point was viewed as the most handsome man. People made him most handsome man in the world. Didn't age well.
Well, anyway,
Alec Baldwin swells and contracts a lot.
He just looks like he drinks like a fish.
Well, I'm sure he does. But young Alec Baldwin was dynamite.
Yeah, he has handsome features.
Yes.
But he's often bloated.
Yes.
the drink.
I'm guessing yes. That guy, I would assume.
He has a reality show now. Did you know that?
No.
Him and his family. Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah.
I would assume.
He's got young kids, like little kids.
Yeah. Well, he got married to a younger lady, and now they've got, you know. I think that's part of, like, wait till Bill's going to have another kid. I promise you.
Who?
No, Belichick.
Oh, Belichick? Oh, really?
Yeah. 72, guarantee she gets a kid out of that. You think she's sticking around for wow. S's and giggles? You're going to blow a baby up in there. She's going to be set for life.
So anyway, I was reading about Val Kilmer, who passed away. Now, we did a whole Val Kilmer. We actually did two segments yesterday, so don't yell at us for
the greatness
talking
that
about
is Val Kilmer.
This and not his movies. We talked about his films
yesterday.
But I read that, and I did not know this. I knew he was a little weird.
Yeah.
But
he's a different cat.
They said that he refused treatment for cancer. So when he got throat cancer, apparently throat cancer is kind of a hard one because people will often ignore symptoms and then it's too late. And he ignored symptoms for a long time, apparently, because he doesn't believe in it.
Okay.
So when he got cancer, he refused to be treated for it.
He didn't think it was real?
It was. It only... Well, he wanted to pray it away.
No.
Yes.
Really?
He's a Christian Scientist.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yes. And so he wanted to get a Christian Scientist, Christian Science leader of some sort, and go and pray the cancer away.
And if you don't know, Christian Science people do not believe in modern medical treatment. Parents often get in trouble because their kid will get cancer or something.
So you didn't know he was a Christian Science guy?
I knew he was a little different. I did not know that he was a Christian Scientist. No, I did not know that.
So the only reason he got treatment, now he ended up going through chemo and radiation.
11 years of it. Like, it was an ongoing thing.
And the only reason he did it was because his kids convinced him. His kids are not Christian Scientists. And they were like, Dad, you have to get this.
Yeah.
Cancer is killing you. He didn't believe that was true, but he did it for them. And then they said all the way till the end, he was not afraid of death. He's one of these guys who believes he's just moving on to the next plane.
Okay. I appreciate that.
So he didn't really fear it, but he always said that he wasn't dying of cancer. He was dying of the treatments of cancer.
Oh, maybe that's why the message was, because they put out a little thing yesterday saying that it wasn't the cancer that killed him. They said it was cancer-free. Maybe that was his family kind of putting spin on it. Okay.
That's probably his terminology.
Sure. Yeah.
Because he didn't believe that cancer could kill him.
Yeah. Well.
Dude. I mean, for someone so smart.
Yeah.
Like, how does that? I don't get that.
Yeah, well.
You're going to have to explain that to
Rob,
me.
There's a huge portion of our country that has decided that science isn't real. So,
I mean,
welcome to the world that we live in. We have more information at our fingertips than ever before, and I would make the argument that we are going backwards in the things that we're ignorant towards.
It's just the faith part. It's like, I just want to believe this. It makes me feel better, so.
Yeah.
And deep down, they know,
I don't know. I mean, because there are people that go to their grave with this. There was, I told you, there was a kid in, I think it was in Texas, and the parents were immigrants, but the kid died of measles, and the two other kids both got him. One went to the hospital, and one, I think, had a milder case. And the parents went and did an interview for one of the anti-vax groups after their kid had died. And said that they would change nothing and they do not regret in any way not vaccinating their kid. And they don't and they will never vaccinate either one of the other kids, even though their child just died and one was in the hospital. They literally filmed a commercial for an anti-vax group. You know, you can't.
Beliefs are beliefs.
Beliefs are beliefs, man.
Steve Jobs tried to treat his pancreatic cancer with coffee enemas and a vegan diet.
Yeah.
Is that true? I don't know much about Steve Jobs.
I know Steve McQueen died of cancer, and he tried to do some other treatments. And I mean, my God, I saw it wasn't too long ago. Mel Gibson was on the Joe Rogan show, and Mel Gibson was claiming that he knew a bunch of people that had cured their cancer with ivermectin and some other combination of things, and they're claiming that, you know, they have the cure to cancer. There's all kinds of this stuff, and it's problematic because once you believe and once you get people that you trust and they tell you something, it's hard to convince people otherwise, no matter what sort of evidence you put in front of them. Trust me, man. I grew up in a church that you know, it's nothing like this, you know, where they, you know, they believe in modern medicine and all that. But I mean, I grew up around some people that it didn't matter what you put before them, they weren't going to change an opinion. Faith is a very weird thing.
So they're saying Val was a heavy smoker. I was asking that yesterday. That's probably why he got the throat cancer.
Yeah.
And yes, Christian Science scientists don't believe in modern medicine.
No.
Or medicine.
Yeah. Which is just stunning to me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, how do you get to that place?
Well, if you're raised by the time you're little and they just tell you one thing over and over again, I mean...
Well, that happens all the time.
That happens all the time.
And people are like, yeah, I don't necessarily buying that.
I mean, a lot of people eventually come around, but some people don't. And I think it's one of those things that, I mean, I had a little bit of this. I left the church completely when I was, I mean, gosh, what was that? 17, 16 years ago, something like that. And even though, you know, shocking, I wasn't much of a practicing Mormon for a number of years. It's hard to leave something that you were raised in. I mean, even if you don't really believe much in it and you don't really practice much of it, when you're raised in something and your family is in it and your friends are in it and your community is in it, it's really hard to officially tell something, no, I'm not doing any of this. And I think there's varying degrees of that for anybody that was raised with any sort of core values or beliefs. And I think some people just take it a little farther than others. But you would think something like cancer would be a slap in the face and would wake you up, but, you know, it apparently not. Although it sounds like he eventually did it.
Well, he got treatment, but he believed that the treatment is what killed him. That's how crazy he was.
Yeah. It's tough, man. But we're not going to, I mean, and I'm guessing that's not going to get talked about because, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter now. It
doesn't get matter now.
But he probably could have prolonged his life. Same as Steve Jobs.
Yes.
I mean, these guys cost themselves years. Maybe they don't care about that.
Well,
but
ultimately, that's their, you know, that's the one that really bugs me. Hey, dude, if you think coffee enemas and a vegan diet are going to cure your cancer... Dude, I don't
get it.
I don't care what anyone does. That's, you got your own choice, man. I'm not certain that I got the way, you know, my life figured out. So you do you, I do, you know, I'll do me.
You do you, I do you.
But what I don't like is the kid stuff. That's the part that bothers me, is when you refuse medical treatment for your kid. And then ultimately, the fact that you're passing those beliefs on to your kid, it's insane. I mean, think about that. If Val Kilmer's parents raised him like that, you can make the argument that Val Kilmer's parents dug his own grave.
And
they dug it when he was 8, 9 years old.
Yeah, but see, I buy that some, but I don't really, because people oftentimes grow out of it.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse. Just because you were taught something doesn't mean you can't evolve and grow past it.
True.
His kids didn't believe it.
No.
His kids were like, dude, you got to go get treatment.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he did for his
eventually,
you know, for his kids, but yeah. It was too late.
Yeah.
Well, he had been treated for cancer for 10 years.
Yeah, for many, many years.
They said he was bedridden for the last like 3 years.
But once your cancer spreads,
yeah,
you're done.
Right.
I mean, there's a really good book called Outlive out there where, I mean, they talk about that, but it's like the dirty secret. But once your cancer spreads, you're gonna die. It's just a matter of time. So, you know, if you wait long enough and your cancer, that's what they said. The whole point of like cancer is all about, can you catch it early before it spreads? If you catch it early enough, you can fight it. Once it spreads to somewhere, all you're doing is delaying the inevitable. So I'll tell you what, if you do think that the coffee enema and prayer is going to cure your cancer,
well, I got
you better hope real, real fast that that does it.
Newsflash, neither worked.
No.
Steve Jobs died very young.
Yeah.
And Val was only 65.
And I guess that's the crappy part, is by the time you get to the point where you tell modern medicine, please come save me, it's, you know, it can't.
Who will be cast as young James Bond? Next, here's Will.
1080 with Isaac and Suk.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch is scotch, scotch.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
The other thing I was thinking we were talking about the, you know, why people, cancer thing, like Christian Scientists and refusing treatments and going with vegan diets and enemas. It made me think about that, the Netflix documentary about the remember that Australian influencer that was lying about having cancer and she said she was treating it with her, you know, the cookbook and all that.
Remember, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? We were talking about that. There was a...
On the show?
On the show. You may have been gone. Maybe it was me and Buckley. It's really jarring. It's on Netflix, and it's this young gal. She's in Australia, and she blew up. She was on, like, Dr. Phil and like, Good Morning America, all this stuff. And she was a really healthy, looking gal who claimed that she had these horrible cancers, right? And she had these vegan cookbooks, and she did all this alternative medicine stuff. And she gained this massive following. I think it was like Harper Books or whatever gave her like the largest advance ever for a cookbook. And she became this internet sensation. And all these cancer people followed her and were following her advice. She's like, I won't do chemo, all this. And turns out she lied. She never had cancer. Ugh. She made the whole thing up.
Jessica Ainsco.
Yeah. She made the whole thing up. She never had cancer. And I remember watching this thing and I was so pissed. Because there were people that literally were dying of cancer and were taking this absolute horse crap advice that if you eat blueberries and meditate, your cancer goes away. And it was infuriating to watch this dumb bitch lie to people that was costing people precious weeks, months, maybe years of their life. And I was watching this and I was thinking, how can you be that dumb to fall into that? But I also think not only if you raise a certain way, I'm not certain that we can adequately talk about how scary it is when you get told that you're going to die or that there's potential you're going to die. Luckily, I've never obviously had that for myself, but having been around people that get death diagnosis, I was there when they told my dad, nothing we can do, your cancer spread. I've watched other family members go through this, and I'm guessing that is such an absolute terrifying moment in your life when you get told, hey, you're up against it. I'm guessing that probably puts you in the most vulnerable state you've ever been in, and you will grab on to any lifeline, no matter how dumb and silly it is, which is also why these quacks that do this crap, hopefully there's a special place in hell for them, because that's all you're doing. You're preying on someone at their most vulnerable.
They called her the Wellness Warrior?
Yeah.
Is that who it was?
I think that's who it was.
It may be not, because this says she did have cancer.
No, this lady never had cancer.
Okay, because she died. This woman died.
No.
She was 29.
Then that's not the same person.
Okay.
But
she was Australian.
There's a documentary on her, and she literally made up having like three different types of cancer. And it went on for several years. And like I said, she did all of these big interviews with all of this national media in Australia and in America, and millions of followers started on Instagram. Shocking.
Belle Gibson. There it is.
Is that who it is?
The influencer who lied about having cancer.
Bingo.
Cancer.
And they had these women, and it was mostly women, who actually had cancer, and they were like, I am so embarrassed that I bought into this. But, you know, here are these women that get told they have cancer, that they're battling for their lives, and they all said the same thing. I looked at this woman, and she looked so healthy, and she looked so vibrant while she was battling this awful disease, and they thought, well, I want that. Whereas every other doctor is telling you, hey, by the way, this is going to be a grind, and the treatment is, I mean, punishingly awful, right? As you said, the treatment's killing you. And the idea is that hopefully it kills your cancer before it kills you, and then someone else comes along and says, hey, I've got a different alternative. I just don't know if there's ever a more vulnerable state you can be in than when you get told that you have cancer and that you could die.
So we've got a... Did you know that Amazon bought the James Bond?
The rights to it?
Yeah, what do you call it? Like the catalog or whatever?
Yeah, I did
franchise,
not.
The franchise.
Sure.
The James Bond franchise.
I did not.
Amazon owns that now. Hmm. And somebody revealed recently, an actor who knows a thing or two, Daniel Mays, I don't know who he is, but he was on a podcast recently and said that they're working on a new James Bond.
Yeah, because Daniel Craig was the last James Bond, and he is done. He died in the last film and said, I'm not doing it anymore.
So. Yeah, so it's set in the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. so they would have to cast the youngest ever James Bond. in a prequel set.
Why couldn't you just cast an old James Bond and have him be 45 years old in 1950?
Wait, what?
Well, again, there's been various James Bond, and they don't follow.
Yeah, like Daniel Craig is way younger than.
Yeah, than Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
So why would you have to cast a young James Bond? You could still cast a 50-year-old man to be James Bond. You would just put a 50-year-old man in 1950. Doesn't quite. Unless you're trying to say, you know, the whole point of the movie is you're showing the origin story of James Bond, like when he was a first-year agent.
Well, I think that's what he's saying. He said, well-connected Line of Duty star Daniel Mays said on yesterday's We're Not Getting Any Younger podcast, I heard a rumor they're going to cast someone very young and go back to the origins. They're going to have all the retro cars and all that sort of stuff and start again. I think that would be kind of cool. Actors thought to be in the running to play young James Bond.
Timothy Chalamet.
He's not on the list. He's a little too dainty.
He doesn't have the rugged manliness to be the new James Bond.
You've got Spider-Man star Tom Holland.
Let's see, except he's like 5'1". He's
tiny. Well, Daniel Craig's short, isn't he?
Is he? I don't think so.
I think he is.
Really? Daniel Craig always seems like that's a man's man.
Now, this guy gets my vote. Well, after these guys I had to look up, I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
This guy, I didn't know his name, but I looked him up. He was in White Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
He was the dude who Jennifer Coolidge's assistant was running off with, the bad boy guy.
Yeah, the bad boy guy.
His name is Leo Woodall. He would be great.
I remember him. Okay.
They're talking about him.
Yeah, he is ruggedly handsome.
They're talking about Connor Swindells, who is... Yeah, I actually don't know who that is. But I see a picture of him.
He's an actor / model. What has he been in?
And then...
He was in Barbie.
Where'd it go?
Yeah, I'm out on him.
Yeah, he's out.
Go away.
For me, too. Kit Connor.
That sounds familiar to me.
And he's only 21 years old. And then some guy named Fins Tiffin. He looks like a villain more than he does James Bond,
Fins Tiffin?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's his name.
That's his... Huh.
Yeah. He looks... Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
My money's on
Woodall?
Leo Woodall, dude. That'd be a great young James Bond.
See, this terrifies me because we got a proven method with James Bond. James Bond... I'm afraid that they're going to Disney up James Bond.
Well, they will.
They're going to make him young. They're going to make him very very politically correct. The whole point of James Bond is he's like the ultimate super spy. I hope they don't modernize James. Let James Bond be James Bond. Every now and then it's just good to have a manly figure that smokes, he gets the girl, he drives the fast car. And, he's in casinos and wears a tux. Let us have that.
Yeah, somebody said, what if it's him learning from his mistakes, like blowing up the wrong thing and getting turned down by Hots?
Whoops. Well, they did that. The Kingsman, that guy, he kind of played a young James Bond. That was kind of the whole premise upon those movies. The Kingsman was a guy becoming a James Bond-like superhero. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm old, but I think I would rather see... Like, I want Idris Elba to be the new James Bond. One, would piss people off because he's black, and then we yell about James Bond can't be black, and those people were dumb. But Idris Elba, like, that... Bond has a regal sort of presence about him. How are you going to do that when you're, like, 21 years old? I find that to be weird.
Hey, we have a new Guy Ritchie show that's out.
I do like Guy Ritchie. Speaking of someone that should direct James Bond, do a Guy Ritchie.
Dude, Guy Ritchie, anything he does, to me, I'm in.
Yeah.
It's just instant.
He did a really nice, he did the TV version of The Gentleman. And that guy could
that
be.
That was good.
That guy could be James. You know who should be James Bond is Charlie Hunnam.
Who's that?
He was in the movie version of The Gentleman. He's a British guy. He was in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, there you go.
Can't act a lot, but he's got the look.
Handsome fella.
He's a handsome fella. He played the henchman, the main henchman in the movie of The Gentleman.
Yeah, the new Guy Ritchie show is on, I think it's on Paramount Plus. There's only one episode out. It comes out every Sunday. But the first episode was really good. It's called Mobland.
I've seen the previews for that.
And, you need to watch that.
Tom Hardy's in that.
Yes.
Speaking of someone that could be James Bond.
Yeah, Tom Hardy.
I give you Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. I think they said this is Tom Hardy and Guy Ritchie's last project together.
Really?
And Pierce Brosnan is in it. I mean, it is. The first episode is mega promising.
Yeah, I didn't know it was out yet, but I saw the previews for it in. Instantly was like, I want to do that. And isn't Travolta in it too?
John Travolta?
I think John Travolta's in it.
He's not in the first episode.
He's not in the first one?
But he may be in it later in the series.
I think Travolta is supposed to be in that, but I could be wrong. Again, because all I've seen is the preview. And we're talking about James Bond. Pierce Brosnan. Great James Bond.
Yeah. Should watch that.
Helen Mirren's in this?
Yeah, she's in there. She's Pierce's wife.
I like where we're going with this. All right, you wrote me in.
I can't see her in any other role now than 1923, and it pisses me off.
It's got you stuck.
Yeah, I am kind of stuck on her because of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm still watching 1923.
Yeah, so you can't,
the new season.
You can't see it any other way.
Yeah, so she can't just now all of a sudden be this. Yeah, she's from 1923. That's not.
Yeah. I felt that way about Daniel Craig. He's. Because I love his Bond, and it was hard for me to see him in anything other than James Bond. And it was the Knives Out that actually kind of was like, oh, all right, he can do something different. But every time I see him, I just instantly am like, well, you're James Bond. Just be James Bond. I don't think actors like that. There's if you're going to get typecast in one thing, though, you can do a lot worse than being James Bond.
Yeah, they're saying Hardy and Guy Ritchie haven't worked together since Rock'n'Rolla, which was 17 years ago. And Hardy's kind of plump now, but still a great actor.
Love me some Tom Hardy.
He was in
F. That was the movie? Recent, long time ago. What
the
are you
show,
talking about?
Peaky Blinders. Tom Hardy. Wasn't he?
Tom Hardy was in.
Yeah, wasn't he the Irish?
Yeah, he's Jewish.
The Jewish guy.
Jewish guy. Yeah, it took me a second. I was like, wait, he was in that?
Well, you could never really see his face. Yeah. They didn't really show it all that well.
Yeah, he played the Jewish guy.
He was great in that.
He was in The Bike Riders recently, which is a good movie you should check out.
Peaky Blinders.
He's just. Tom Hardy's greatness. I'm one of those, like, if Tom Hardy's in something, I'm going to give that a spin. He's a guy that will get me to tune in.
All right, guys. That is all the damage we can do for one day.
Oh, we can do more.
All right. We'll wrap it up.
We can defend someone next.
Next on The Fan. For the record, Daniel Craig, 5'10".
Okay.
So he's not.
So probably means he's 5'8". So.
He's not that short. I thought he was him just a little guy.
Yeah. Well, Tom Holland's a little guy, but, you know, I look.
Tom Holland?
Yeah, he's the guy that you were saying could be rumored to be the James Bond. He's Spider-Man, and he's little. Like, he looks tiny. He's with that, he's married to, or dating Zendaya, and she, like, towers over him.
He looks a little too goofy to be James Bond.
He's a little fella.
Need a little more ruggedness out of my JB.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't want them to redo James Bond. Anytime modern film or TV gets a hold of an iconic character that's it's supposed to be, like, a manly guy, they always end up cutting his balls off, you know. I'm half surprised that James Bond isn't going to be a girl. They're like, all right, guys, new idea here. James Bond, but a woman.
Them, they.
Them, they. You know.
James Bond's new pronouns. Don't call me James.
Man, I'm all for modernizing things, but God, just sometimes just leave James Bond alone.
Well, now I read a story where the producer says that the next one will be in his 30s. Okay. Those guys we were talking about were all in their 20s.
Yeah.
This, you know, so now the producer's saying maybe a little older.
Yeah. Well, you would think that, like, with as many of these flops as they've had, maybe someone in Hollywood might figure out that people aren't really interested in that. Maybe.
Interested in what?
Well, the retelling in much worse ways of these movies. Like, they remade Snow White recently, a live-action Snow White, and it's just bombing. And, like, the lady that was Snow White came out and was like, well, Snow White is, she basically crapped all over the original Snow White. And then they weren't going to have dwarves because dwarves were apparently an offensive term. So they were going to see that. So then they were going to make it where they were normal sized people. And then they CGI'd it. And they just, you're like, I get it. It's an old fashioned. It's from the 1930s. It's going to be old fashioned. But they turned it into like, you know, Snow White doesn't need saving. Snow White's going to be the hero of the story and a strong, powerful woman.
It's like Barbie.
You're like,
it's all about the women.
Again, just every not every movie has to be a commentary.
Yes, it does.
On the modern state of society. Just every now and then, just make an entertaining movie. It's like in every movie now. I kid you not. No matter what it is, that every movie has to be saved by either a very strong, powerful woman or an 8-year-old kid.
Tell you what, you know who just makes entertaining crap? Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie. Yes.
It's the same formula, and it's wonderful.
And it works.
And he gets great actors.
Yes. Really entertaining.
All right. Andrew Nemec is coming up next. I see him in there.
Talking some fruiting.
He is. He has his shirt off, which is kind of weird. But.
Kind of odd.
Hey, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Check him out on YouTube. We're back tomorrow, 3-7 Thinking It.
Ships of Spain, red ships.